Good morning, family. Hope you're having an awesome weekend. It sure is nice to enjoy the 90-degree weather before we get to the 115-degree weather. So I'm enjoying it. I don't know about you, because I know, having gone through last summer, that it's just nice to have it the way it is right now. Yes, the grass is green somewhere in Phoenix, is it? I don't know. That's what it says up there. We're glad to have you this morning. You know, I want to share with you actually a story that you might have read about that I find quite interesting. It has nothing to do with the lesson, but I thought I'd just tell you about it anyway. I was reading a story about these two 17-year-olds, a girl and a boy, and they were stranded out at sea. They'd swam out and they'd got out to where they could not be found. They were drowning almost, and they were praying. As they were praying, along came a ship. The answer to their prayer, the ship that rescued them, was called the Amen. Literally happened on April the 18th of this year off the Florida coast. So, inspirational story. But our story this morning is going to be found in your Bible in the book of 2 Kings. So I would appreciate it if you would open up your Bibles right now. There'll be some verses on the screen too, but you need to have your copy of God's Word open to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 5. There we're going to read this morning the story of Naaman. But I want to tell you another story, actually, that happened to me. Literally, this happened, about 3 or 4 years ago. It was a summer day. I was in Southern California. I was a minister for a congregation there. And I was having a great day that day. It was a Saturday, beautiful weather. It was a gorgeous day. In fact, I decided to kind of let it get to be where it was a little later in the day, about 6 o'clock in the evening or so, before I went out and decided to change the church sign and put a different message on the church sign. And I was out there, and like I said, man, I'll tell you what, it was a great day. Things couldn't have gotten any better. I was really enjoying myself, not a care in the world. There I was changing the church sign, and all of the sudden, I was attacked by some demon-possessed June bugs. I mean, I always thought June bugs, I don't know if you know much about June bugs. In Southern California, June bugs are these little creatures that never seem to do anything, make any noise, do anything. But boy, I'll tell you what, that night there was a swarm of them, and they literally attacked me. And I'll tell you what, it just ruined the great day that I was having. And sometimes that's going to happen to you in life. I didn't think that those crazy critters could be so annoying, but boy, I'll tell you what, they really got in my grill, and it made for a tough time. You know, most of us, I think, have been in situations like this before. Everything in life is seemingly going very, very smoothly, and then all of a sudden there's that one little thing that seems to mess up everything else. There's one obstacle sometimes in life that stands between you and fulfillment. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a relationship issue, like maybe it's hard to get along with someone at work, or maybe some relative or some friend of yours, you're having issues with your relationship. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a weight problem. Whatever it is, it could be a number of things, but this is the one thing in your life that ends up being the barrier between you and having the kind of life that you want to have in Christ Jesus. And it's hard to get past this. You know, I know that some of you here know what I'm talking about, because maybe you have in your life a very sincere desire to live for Jesus. You love Him. You want to do more for Him. You want to be like Him. But maybe there's some sin or some problem in your life that keeps knocking you off your feet. And this situation keeps getting the best of you. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's your tongue. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's just your pride. But whatever it is, it creates a huge barrier between you and the abundant life that God wants you to live. What I want to do today is I want us to look at the story of Naaman. And I wish I could have found a better picture than the one I have here, because I wanted to also illustrate, if you could see on his face, the leprosy there. And this was the barrier standing between him and what he wanted to have in life as he wanted to enjoy the blessings of life. Now, Naaman I want us to look at him, and through his example, I want us to see how you and I today can break down the barriers that are standing between us and living the kind of life that God wants us to live as well. Naaman, you need to know, was a wealthy man. He was successful. He was influential. Naaman had a very, very good life. But there was one thing that stood in the way of him having it all. And yet, as we'll see, he breaks through that barrier and he finds the blessing that God had in mind for him. So I want you to follow along with me now in your Bibles in 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's read about Naaman. It says in verse 1, "Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the Syrian king, he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was, it says here, a mighty warrior, but," and there's the big but, "he was a leper." There it is. There's that one big barrier. This was about as big a barrier as you could get. He had leprosy. And leprosy is a highly contagious skin disease. And when you've got leprosy, you are constantly at the risk of spreading it to others. And so you have to stay away from people. You can't hug your children. You can't kiss your wife. You can't shake hands with your friends. You're really limited in any kind of contact that you can have with others. Now, I don't know if Naaman had to do this, but back then, Jews had to shave their heads. They had to shave their faces. And they had to wear torn clothes, and they had to walk around shouting, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that others would know that they had to keep a safe distance from this person who had leprosy. Now, can you imagine having to do that with your issue in life right now? Can you imagine that? I mean, what if every time someone approached you, you had to warn them, anger, bitterness, jealousy, selfishness, greed, be careful, stand back. I mean, you had to tell people that. That's exactly what Naaman had to do. Can you imagine what that would be like? Naaman was a successful warrior. But even though he was a warrior, he was facing an issue of life that combated him like an enemy that he could not defeat. As strong as he was, as successful a warrior he was, this was an enemy that was constantly defeating him on the battlefield of life. This was one thing, the one thing that would bring him down. And the irony is that this one thing was enough actually to get him pointed in the right direction. Before the leprosy ruined him, it actually rescued him, as we'll see in the story this morning. It actually rescued him, all because he decided to break down this barrier and receive the blessing that God had for him. And so we're going to look at how you can do this in your life as well. And we're going to look at three steps. They're in your outline. In the bulletin, you have sealed outline there, the lesson here. And these are the three things we're going to look at this morning. First of all, if you want to break down the barriers that are keeping you from your blessing that God has for you, you need to keep an open ear. When I look at the story of Naaman, I see that Naaman was willing to listen to others. Twice in the story, Naaman was able to do the right thing because he knew who to listen to. And it's quite interesting when you think about who, in fact, he did listen to. It was a slave girl in his house, and it was some army officers that were actually under his command. The girl was a Jew, and told him to see the prophet Israel to be, or Isaiah, prophet in Israel to be healed. And Naaman's army officers, they tell him to go and see the king, and eventually, of course, to see Elisha, and Elisha would tell him to wash in the Jordan River. Now, Naaman's first thought might have been to go and see the king, not to see this slave girl. But you need to know something, church, and that is this, that do you know that help often comes from unexpected places? Maybe even a ship out at sea called the Amen. Yes, help comes from unexpected places. That's what you need to understand in the story here. And if you're not willing to listen to others, you may miss out on some wonderful opportunities that God has for you in life. Naaman could have said, what wisdom could this slave girl have? Who is she to tell me, a mighty warrior, how to be healed of my leprosy? Why should I listen to her? That could have been his very thought. But here's the thing. Naaman had heard about the Israelites, and he had heard about how they served a very powerful God, a miracle-working God. And so he had heard that there were some prophets living in the land, and he was interested in this. So he had sort of a yearning to listen to anyone who might talk about how he could connect with this Jehovah God. And so when this slave girl suggested that he go and see one of their prophets, he thought to himself, maybe she's right. Maybe she knows what she's talking about. Maybe I should listen to her after all. And when Naaman listened to his army officers a little later, there was actually a little bit more resistance. At first, as you look at the story here, he didn't want to wash in the dirty Jordan River. But they were able to persuade him to listen to their advice, and eventually he did. Have you ever known someone who was in a very difficult situation, and what they needed to do from your perspective was very obvious, but they themselves couldn't see it? Yeah. And don't be too hard on them, because you've probably been that way a time or two yourself. Sometimes you're too close to the situation, you're too emotionally involved, you're too wrapped up in the moment that you cannot see what others can see from the distance who can help you to do something that would be the right thing to do. So you need to be humble enough to recognize that there are others who actually may have more insight than you. Be willing to listen to others, because I'll tell you something. Not one of us here this morning are smarter than the rest of us collectively. I always say, if you go into a room and you find yourself the smartest person in that room, leave the room. Go somewhere else where someone can shed some light on something that you don't know about yet, because none of us here are smarter than all of us collectively. It's just that simple. We have a hard time seeing things that others can point out. And so we all need outside input, because as it says, by the way, in the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, the Bible says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, those same plans succeed. Did you get that? The plans that others can help us to see what God would have us to do, those plans can succeed. Do you have barriers in your life right now? Well, start listening to others around you. You'll be surprised by what they know. And when you find out what they know, you'll be positioned in a place where you can receive the blessing that God has for you. Let's look at our second point this morning from the story of Naaman. And that is that while you need to keep listening to others, keep an open ear, you also need to keep knocking doors. You need to keep knocking doors. Be willing to knock, in fact, on more than one door. Now, Naaman, he told his king about the prophet in Israel who might be able to heal him. And the king encouraged Naaman to go, and he even sent Naaman with a letter of recommendation, a letter of introduction. And so Naaman approached the king of Israel, and guess what? Naaman was not well received by Israel's king. In fact, the king of Israel thought it was all a big trick to give Syria an excuse to invade Israel. Clearly, Naaman must have thought that he had knocked the wrong door. The king of Israel did not see the possibilities in this opportunity. He didn't say to himself, here's a chance for me to actually develop a better relationship, a friendship with the Syrian king. We'll call on God to heal this man, and then we won't be at odds with these people anymore. But the king of Israel didn't see this as an opportunity. Instead, like some people do today, he saw this as a threat. And I'm sure Naaman saw it himself as a closed door. But he was willing to keep knocking, especially when he heard that there was a prophet not far away who was actually willing to see him. And I love Elisha's response. Look at the text here in chapter 5 and verse 8. I love Elisha's response to the king of Israel. He says to him, "Why are you so upset? Send Naaman to me, and he will learn that there is a true prophet in Israel." Now, does that sound to you, from the words of Elisha, does that sound like Elisha is a little bit full of himself? Does he sound like he's a little arrogant? Well, you know what? I believe that he was not arrogant at all. Elisha knew how powerful his God was. And this is his faith that is talking right here in these words. He is telling him, I've got a big enough God who can do this. He does not want to miss out on an opportunity to be used by God to heal Naaman. So he comes to Naaman. He's speaking with him. So he tells the king, he says, send Naaman to me and we'll show him our God. That's really what Elisha is saying right here. Send Naaman to me and we'll show him our God. Do you know in sports there's always that one guy who when the game is on the line, he wants the ball. And do you know why he wants the ball? Because he knows he can win. And that's what Elisha is about right here. He knows he can win. He knows through his God that he can win. And so he says, this is something I want to do for God. Now, there's going to be times when you'll find the king, like the king of Israel in your life, person that doesn't know how to win. But then there's other times when you'll come across an Elisha, and I'll tell you what, you want to gravitate toward that person, the one who knows that God is mighty, and Elisha wants to do that. And I want to get back to Naaman, though. If you want to break through the barriers in your life, you need to, first of all, as we said, invite people into your life, the help of others, and then you need to be willing to knock more than just one door. And when you encounter people like the king of Israel who say, this isn't my problem, I really don't want to deal with this, then you just have to move on and find another door to knock on. And that's what Naaman really did. You have to keep knocking on doors until you find that Elisha. Keep knocking on doors until God brings circumstances into your life that will break down your barrier and bring that blessing that God has ready for you. Let's go to our third and final point this morning. As I look at the story of Naaman here, I also learn, and really this is the bottom line, that you need to be willing to obey God. You need to be willing to keep God's command. That's really the bottom line. When Naaman went to Elisha, Elisha didn't even meet with him in person. Did you see that in the story? He just sent a messenger who said to Naaman, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. And the messenger gave Naaman a promise. He said, do this and your skin will be restored to you. You know what? That wasn't good enough for Naaman. You remember the story, right? That wasn't good enough for him. All of a sudden, he lets his ego start to get in the way right here. You know what the word ego means, right? E-G-O means edging God out. All of a sudden, his ego kicked in. And even though he's told what to do to be healed, he doesn't want to do it this way. He didn't think it was going to happen this way, so he didn't want it to happen this way. It says in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, Naaman became furious and he walked away thinking, I thought Elisha would come out to meet me, you know, personally, right? And he would stand up and he would call upon the name of the Lord, his God, I like that, his God, not mine, and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. And then Naaman starts complaining about the river. You know, we've got better rivers than this. Look at these rivers we got that are right here that are a lot better than the Jordan River, Abana River, the Pharpar River of Damascus. They're better than all the rivers of Israel, he said. Why shouldn't I wash in one of these rivers and be healed? Now think about this. You need to understand, Naaman is on the verge of something spectacular, something enormously life-changing. He can get rid of this leprosy. He has the choice to be healed of the disease that is destroying his life. And instead of receiving his healing, he gets mad at Elisha because Elisha tells him to get healed in a different way than he had in mind. You see, here's the thing. Naaman wanted the show. He wanted the fireworks. He wanted the big bang. He wanted something to see something spectacular here. He wanted the fireworks. He wanted Elisha to perform his magic act while he just sit back and watch in amazement of how this wonderful thing was done. Basically, Naaman wanted to do nothing but receive. No effort on his part, no obedience, no action, no follow through, nothing from him but to simply believe and receive, as some folks would say today. There's a part of us that wishes that God would just send someone into our lives to just wave their hand over us. We don't have to do anything, and all of a sudden, bam, things will be exactly the way that we want them to be. No effort on our part, no action, nothing that we need to do. But we all understand that's just not practical. Not because we're going to do something to earn God's blessing or to get God to do something for us, but we're simply going to act out of plain obedience. Right? That's really what was before Naaman right here. Elisha told Naaman to wash in the Jordan, and God tells us to get busy too in our lives. In the midst of our problems, God says, I'm going to help you, but I've got some things that you need to do. Here are some steps that you need to take. And are you willing to obey? Are you willing to do your part? There's nothing at all glamorous about washing in the Jordan River. But there's something powerful about it because it represents humble obedience to God. That's what God was wanting from Naaman. Simply submitting to a plan that maybe didn't even look like it was drawn up for Naaman. Maybe something that wouldn't, you know, be eye-popping or, you know, something spectacular, but just simple, humble obedience to God. Now, at first, Naaman objected to Elisha's instructions. But as we've already pointed out, he changed his mind when his servants then persuaded him. Notice it says in chapter 5 and verse 14, So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his flesh became as healthy as a baby's skin, and he was healed. We all have barriers in our lives. Barriers that we cannot break through on our own. We need God's power to make it happen. And we have to understand that you can't sit back and do nothing but receive. Rather, instead, God wants you to obey Him in humility. And that's what Naaman did. Now, as we close this morning, are you ready to break down your barriers? In order to experience the fullness of life that God wants for you, you need to be willing, first of all, to listen to the advice of others, as we learn from Naaman today. Like the people Naaman listened to, the slave girl, the army officers, and eventually Elisha, you need the help of others at times. They won't solve your problems for you, but if you listen to them, they'll help you find your way, and they'll help you connect with the power of God, as we've seen with Naaman. The question is, are you humble enough to hear what others have to say? And secondly, are you willing to knock on more than one door? Are you willing to keep trying even when you encounter closed doors along the way? Are you persistent enough to keep looking for that open door? And then thirdly this morning, are you willing to obey God? Willing to take the necessary steps to break down those barriers to blessing? Are you willing to take responsibility for your actions rather than just waiting for someone to come along and make all your problems go away? Church, this is how we break the barriers down. Here's how we do it. We do the possible by faith. And then we let God do the impossible by His power. That's what we see in the story of Naaman. The Jordan River didn't have the power to heal Naaman of his leprosy, but obedience to the Word of God did. If you're a Christian today and you're burdened down right now with a barrier that is keeping you from faithfully serving God and you need to turn your life back to God for salvation, we want to pray with you and pray for you and encourage you. And maybe you feel inclined this morning to make that known publicly, and we would invite you to come forward at the song at the end of our invitation. But maybe you're also here this morning and you're not a child of God yet. You've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him in faith this morning, believing that He died and rose from the dead, believing that He is God's Son, being willing today then to come forward and to publicly tell others, to confess that Jesus is God's Son, and then today repent of your sins and be baptized so those sins can be washed away. And so you can be removed, have removed the greatest barrier of life, which is sin, through the cross of Jesus Christ. We're inviting you to come forward this morning. If you're subject to the gospel call, let's stand to sing.